Nigel Anthony and Anna Calder Marshall in I Want It Now, the novel by Kingsley Amis, adapted for radio by Frederick Bradman. The time is the late 1960s.
Reception LCNN television? No, I'm afraid he's not here yet. I'll tell him.
There's supposed to be a car.
One of the commissioners is looking into it, Mr. Hamer.
Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Bill. Fat slob, Hamer program runner must be over.
Well, Ron, you old scoundrel, where are you off to?
I'm afraid there's no trace of your car, Mr. Hamer.
Oh, but I can see a quite substantial one. There, just pulling up. Can I give you a lift, Ronnie?
Wasn't there when I looked.
Jolly kind of you, Bill. You could drop me off somewhere central, if you would. I'm actually going to Little Venice.
Not to the Reichenberger's party, by any chance?
Yes, how extraordinary. Girls, what a grass.
Excuse me, please. You run the Appleyard?
That's right, I am. Me before Hamer.
Can I have your autograph, please?
Certainly, of course. Appleyard asked before Hamer.
Excuse me, are you Bill Hamer?
Yes.
Bloody big car to give the slob.
Can I have yours too, Mr. Hamer?
There you are.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Thank you for asking.
What age are they?
12, 20?
Come on, Ron. Don't see why I should use my own car driver when the firm will cough up.
No, indeed. It's a minicab for Ron.
Good night, Mr. Hamer. Good night, Mr. Appleyard.
I'll be back in a couple of hours. Well, open the bloody door, Perkins.
Just going to, Mr. Hamer. Not so young as...
Shut up. In you go, Ronnie. I envy you chaps who get shot at the thing while the evening's still young.
Junius' show goes out at peak time. Junius doesn't, conceded Twit.
I don't think I've seen you at a Reichenberger party, have I?
No, this is my first time.
You're coming up in the world, my lad, coming a celebrity.
I won't have this self-infatuated talking machine on my program, call as he may.
Are you working on another book?
Coming out in the spring.
You certainly don't let up, do you, Ron? What's this one about?
The dental profession.
I won't be buying it. It scares stiff of the
buggers. My dentist gives you tranquilizers. Makes his work less tiring.
Look, just try to keep your mouth shut, will you, old chap? I had enough of your fatuous comments on the way down. You should do well with it.
You'll knock it if you can. What next?
How old are you, Ronnie?
36. Who have you got on the show tonight, Bill?
Not such a very interesting lot, I'm afraid. In certain fields, you might say we're getting near the bottom of the barrel. Our last week's lot.
Oh, didn't see it, I'm afraid. Got hung up in the studio. Lose that so much. Well desired. Pity. Poor Ron.
Pity you missed it, old son. One of the best.
What were you talking about? Marijuana, wasn't it? Yes, I seem to remember.
No, marijuana was the week before. This was a party.
Bloody apartheid. Let him go on 1 minute. No more.
We all of us must take our share of the guilt, you know, Ron. We can't not do it.
What sort of people turn up at the Reichenbergers?
Antonio Reichenberger has this incredible faculty for spotting people. Uncanny. The up-and-coming material.
What's the birth situation?
Yes.
Go on, you mealy-mouthed adulterer.
I imagine somebody like you might well find something to interest him at Antonio's.
Look who's here, as they say. Mr. Heartthrob in person. TV's young Lochinvar. Nice of you to come, Mr. Appleyard.
Oh, nice of you to invite me, Mrs. Reichenberger.
Oh, I always watch your program. Inside, isn't it? So you came with Bill Hamer, did you?
Yes, bumped into each other on our way out from the studio. This is a splendid house you have here, Mrs. Reichenberger.
Oh, say, Antonia, please, yes?
Antonia. Lots of interesting people, too, I see.
Oh, I do hope there are. Even my wretched son has decided to come.
Well, can he be old enough to be out so late?
Nice of you, Ronnie, but he's 18 and quite a problem.
Well, we all are at 18.
I'd love to tell you all about it sometime. But look, you haven't even got a drink.
She should have a mind.
Oh, dear, that must be... Do excuse me, Ronnie, a moment.
Yes, yes, of course, Antonia. I've got a drink, Ron. I'm a bird somewhere.
God, what a crowd.
Hello, Eddie.
Oh, boy, well...
Never better. Funny old... What the hell is this I'm thinking? Vodka? Hamer with Molly. Business, not bad. My God, she's ugly.
Ah, Molly. Beautiful.
Oh, liar.
He means it, Molly.
Sincerity always pays. That's all you've got, Molly. Who's that American? Angry man. Who with?
All right, but... You know what she said?
Is this it? Girl or boy? From the back, it's hard to say. No, it's a girl. I see the anchors crossed with. Now get round to the front. God, what a girl. That face, hair same colour, sallow, lion's mane colour. What a girl. No tits, tallish. Right, Bianca's had it.
I've had enough. Up to here. Good night, Simon.
Simon? Girl? Girl, Yank gone. She looks,
Did you get me a drink?
What? Oh, yes, what would you like?
Scotch and water. No ice.
Now, come on, then. Over to the bar. How are you? I'm Ronnie Appleyard.
I'm called Simon.
Hello, Ron. I say insiders upset the thing.
Good. Scotch and water, no ice. Yeah, no, I'm busy, old thing. I'll see you next time. Scotch, Simon. What, Simon?
No, Simon what? Simon Quick.
Well, Simon's a boy's name.
Never mind, I'm called Simon.
You don't look well, are you ill?
I'm all right, I'm always all right.
Well, you were rowing with that chap who left. Anything needing to be done about that?
No. I told him I didn't want to do something he wanted me to do, and he got mad at me. People always get mad at me.
Is he your husband?
No, I haven't got a husband.
Oh, I don't need one at your age, do you? What are you, 21?
No, 26. I don't know whether I need one, a husband. People always telling me I do.
People? What people?
Oh, people, you know. Have you got a wife?
No. What was it the American wanted you to do and you wouldn't?
Go away with him to Sardinia. Not sex. Just go and stay there.
Oh, you're well out of Sardinia, I'd say.
Do you work?
Yes, I do work. I'm a writer and broadcaster.
Is that getting talked on the radio?
Well, in my case, it's television. I run a show called...
Television? Do you know Bill Hamer?
Slightly, yes.
I think he's super. Oh, that charm.
Oh, there, Hamer. Get her away. It's a way with her, fat bastard. Simon, what about skipping out of here, going and having dinner somewhere?
I'd rather go to bed.
You mean you're tired? Oh, some food will perk you up.
I don't feel tired. I mean sex.
Well, fine. Nothing I'd like better. We'll grab a taxi and go to my flat.
I can't wait. I want it now.
Well, you can't have it now, for God's sake. Well,
of course I can. There are plenty of rooms in this house. I'll ask Antonia. She's an old friend of my mother's.
Simon! Oh, God. She's there. Got it? Drunk? What do I do? Oh, Antonia seems speechless. Simon's gone zombie again. Better face it. Excuse me. Excuse me.
How dare you?
I don't get it. What have I done?
You couldn't even do it yourself. You had to ask her.
I don't get it. What the hell did she say happened?
You did say you wanted to, you know.
I'm sorry. You must have misunderstood me. I'm so sorry.
I'll talk to Mr. Appleyard when you've gone, Mona.
That's not my name. I'm called Simon, and I'm not going.
Yes, you are my girl, under any name. My husband will put you in a taxi and send you home. What happened to George?
George left. He got mad at me. I won't go. I'll bite, fight and scrap.
Nonsense. Do you want me to upset your mother about this?
No. Please don't do that, Antonia.
Well, behave yourself, then. Adrian, darling, would you put Mona in the taxi and send her home?
One would think the girl's a child, not a grown woman. Come along now, Mona. Say goodnight to your friends.
Good night. Sorry.
Assemble, Ron, fast.
Antonia, I feel quite dreadful, and I'd apologise like a shot, and most humbly, if I didn't feel absolutely certain, I've done not the least thing that requires an apology. May I ask what, in fact, she did say?
That you and she wanted to go to bed together, and could you have a room upstairs for half an hour?
Oh, I see. Oh, dear. Well, that's untrue. I thought she looked upset, but I tried to cheer her up. Next time, I keep my charity to myself.
I should, if I were you. Surely you can see she's unbalanced.
You mean...
Oh, she's been out of hand for years. The mother can't control her. This kind of behaviour is nothing out of the way at all, I assure you.
Oh, that's very sad. I am sorry, Antonia. I think I'll be getting along.
Do, Mr. Appleyard. Good night.
Thank you for having me.
And I won't be invited again until the year 2000. I'll get out. Taxi, home. Oh, there's Hamer. Keep out of sight. Good. Now, squeak. Potty little bitch. Cause trouble. Ah, door's open. Slip out into the night, Ron. Crucify you, Moll, somehow. Taxi rank at Warwick Avenue. Who's that? It looks like... Oh, no, Miss Quick.
I escaped from Adrian.
Yes, so I see. Look, I'm on my way home. You can please yourself, would you do?
Are you cross with me?
I'm really bored. Now, look, why don't you get into a taxi and buzz off before your mother sends out a search party?
I haven't got any money. Never have money.
Well, here's a quid. Now what?
What's your name?
I told you, Ronnie Appleyard.
I know, I forgot. Ronnie, can't I come home with you?
No, Simon, you can't.
I know I'm not beautiful at all.
Yes, you are very beautiful.
Then why don't you take me home with you? I'd do anything you wanted me to, and I'd be very quiet, and I'd go the moment you told me to.
All right. There's a taxi.
What was I doing wrong?
We won't argue. I know when I'm not wanted.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know whether it's me you don't like, or men, or sex. I'm not bothered which it is. That's your problem, love. Now, join me. Get out of my bed, put your clothes on and go home.
If you say so. Couldn't I stay the night?
What for?
I want to go to the bathroom, please.
And be my guest, only don't be too long.
I'll put my clothes on there.
Yes, do that. Where the hell does she come from? Below. Some certain sort of people, I can't think what.
Let me stay. Just the night. I'll be up in the morning.
You don't want to go home, is that it?
That's part of it.
Now, where is home, Simon?
Eaton Square. Huh? Mummy has his penthouse.
God. Now I know where you come from, belong to, the rich bastards. And I almost let you walk out of my life. When you're ready, I'll walk you there.
I'm ready.
Well, I will be in a moment. Aren't you going to put some makeup on?
I don't use makeup, Ronnie. I'm all the wrong colours. Mummy had a Paris man in and a New York man on to me, but they all just made me look terrible. I told you, they just made me look terrible. The Paris man made me look like a red Indian. And the New York man made me look like an Arab. Nasty red Indian and nasty Arab. Mummy thought of trying...
Who is Mummy?
Mummy's called Lady Baldock now. Before that, she was called Mrs. Aristophano, and before that, she must have been called Mrs. Quick. But I don't remember her being called that. I can hardly even remember Daddy. He was an American. Stavros was a Greek, and Chum is English, of course. He's called Lord Baldock. He's very horrible to me all the time, Chum is. You'll hate him.
Quick. Steer an old millionaire. Aristophano, shipping millionaire. Baldock, just a title. She, Juliet something. Louisiana. I should have put this together earlier. Baldock, of course. Wasn't there something in the papers just the other day, last week?
Mummy gave a big party for this Brazilian sculptor.
That's right. Sounded awfully glad.
What did I do wrong in bed?
Well, you're a virgin, aren't you?
If you're going to get all aggressive... There have been 44. I always keep count.
Crikey. Is that counting me?
No. But that's not so many. Works out about 4 a year since I started.
Now, what made you ask me?
Thought you looked nice.
Oh, why that ludicrous business of asking Mrs. Reichenberger for a bed? What the hell did you expect her to say?
Good evening, Whittaker.
What?
Good evening, Miss Quick.
That's the porter man.
Oh.
I don't know, Ronnie. Wanted you. Here we are. So you're not to... Just... Can I see you again, Ronnie?
Well, if you really want to.
Of course I really want to. Come on up and say hello to Mummy now. Please, Ronnie. She's terribly nice. You'll love her. Wait here, Ronnie. I'll go and find Mummy. Chum and his friends are finishing dinner, so she'll be alone.
Chummy's friends finished dinner. That's Chummy Baldock. That's Sir Reg Sands, the football poor millionaire. Hey, that's the American at the Reichenbergers. Didn't Jagged must have flown here, because if he wants to hit me, Chummy leads him off. Looks flabbergasted, Chummy. Perhaps the American's mad. Small red-haired chap. Butler? Must be. A nasty little beast, methinks. Now, there they go, into some inner sanctum. How did that yank get here in time to have dinner? Perhaps he is mad. Ah, here's Juliet. Ready for it?
Mr. Appleyard, how nice of you to bring my problem child home. I had a most curious and slightly disturbing telephone call about her earlier this evening. Still, let's not bother about it now. Mr. Appleyard, it's a pleasure to have you here. I watch you so often on television when I'm in London that I feel I know you.
Oh, well, thank you. How nice.
I'm afraid I have a lot of dreadfully dull people here tonight whom it would just bore you to death to meet. But I refuse to turn down the chance of talking with you for a little while, now that it's come up so unexpectedly. What would you like to drink, Mr. Appleyard? Mona, find Bert Smith and tell him to bring a bottle of the Laphroaig and some Malvern water to the small parlour. I want them immediately. See that he understands that.
Yes, Mummy.
Then tell Chummy to slip away and join us. And he's to make sure George doesn't come along, too.
Yes, Mummy. All right. Not George.
We'll go to the small parlour. I meant what I said just now about being grateful to you for rescuing my little Mona. You know, I think you might be good for her, if only you can manage to put up with all her... She has this completely disastrous taste in people.
I think I can see why you're so concerned about Mona, because there's obviously such marvellous basic material there.
Do please sit down, Mr. Appleyard. I do hope any little difficulties tonight won't discourage you from seeing some more of her. She does very much need what maybe you can give her.
May I say this? I'd say some of the trouble is that she has her work cut out keeping up with you.
Keeping up with me? In what way?
Well, you must know. You know, just the whole...
Mr. Appleyard, I must say you're not in the least the way you seem on television.
Oh, television. Curious half-world of fakes and hangers-on and committee men.
Bert Smith. Put the things on the silver table.
Chummy, this is Ronnie Appleyard. My stepfather, Lord Baldock, Ronnie.
Aha, I've heard that name, haven't I?
Aren't you going to sit down, Mona?
Funny, Chummy, go on.
What do you blow?
Blow?
Yes, blow, like trumpet man.
Oh, you mean which jazz instrument do I play? I don't.
Your service, Chummy.
Thank you, Burke Smith. Now go away.
You don't? Ronnie Appleyard? I thought only jazz musicians had names like that. Sorry. Wait. These directors of education, heads of art schools, are all called Stan and Reg and Al. Perhaps you're one of them.
No, I'm not one of them.
Then what do you do?
What about something for me?
You know perfectly well, and you know I know you know, Chummy, so no answer.
I want a whiskey. Why can't I have a whiskey?
Simon, you know it keeps you awake.
Oh, Chummy, don't be so stuffy. Let the child have a whiskey if she wants one.
I was asking what you did for a living.
Yes, that's right. Of course you were.
Oh, Chummy. You know as well as I do that Mr. Appleyard does that marvellous programme on television.
If you say so, darling. Good old Gogglebox. Tell me, do you know Bill Hamer?
Yes, I do. Not well, but...
I apologise, but I can't stand it anymore. Who the hell are you? Well, what the hell are you doing here?
George, dear boy, go to bed.
This guy was hanging around Simona at the party. Those Jewish people came.
Oh, I say, how frightfully rude of me. George, you haven't met Mr. Appleyard. Mr. Appleyard, this is Mr. Parrott.
How do you do? Simona tells me to lose myself. The next thing I know, he's brought in here, and you all feed me him whiskey.
Get out, George. Don't say another word.
Now, in my position, I have the right...
In your position? What position's that, George?
We have an understanding, Simona, as you very well know.
I don't want it any more. It's always been boring and horrible. Shut up and go away.
Oh.
I told you to go away once this evening already. Do you know why? Because I'd just seen a man I fancied a damn sight more than I fancy you, and I got him.
You just a goddamn bitch, Simone. That's all.
George, I can't have that. You'll have to go.
Oh, hell. I'm sorry.
You must go, George. I think the understanding is finished.
Come along, George. There's a good chap.
Mr. Appleyard. I can't tell you how sorry I am you've had to suffer all this. I'm afraid you had to find out rather a lot about us. Rather fast.
My dear Lady Baldock, I've been listening avidly to every word, but I assure you my memory is a total mess.
Oh, how very nice of you. You know, Mr. Appleyard, I'm sure we shall be seeing more of you this summer. I do hope so.
Don't like the sea. Water, water everywhere. Bloody light reflects too strongly. Now that must be the island. Malakoff. Oh, Mr. Appleyard, could they spare you for a few days to cheer us all up on our fuddy-duddy little primitive Greek island? Good day, hell. Now there it is. Arrive at 12:30. Now 12:40. Arrive at 1:20. They're not bad for these parts.
What time do we get to Malakoff?
What? Rich bastard.
Don't you speak English?
I am English. I don't know when we get to Malakoff. I suggest you try the purser's office. Oh, and by the way...
Yes?
Come back and tell me when you found out, will you?
There's no need to be damned rude.
Isn't there?
Rich bastard and wife. Guests of Baldock, for sure. No other quality than being rich. Can do as they bloody well like all the hours there are. Splendid stage. You two wrong one day. Miss Quick behaving badly. Not a word before she left for the fuddy-duddy island with dear money. Have to deal with her.
What's happened to that fool,
Burksmith?
Blood on his back,
Tubby.
Sundry shop, most likely.
It's Mr. Appleyard, isn't it, sir?
Afternoon, Burksmith.
Is it your cases, sir? The taxi's over there, sir. Have you seen anything of Lord and Lady Upshot, sir?
No, not a thing.
I say, Tubby, there he is!
Burksmith, don't drive off, you damn fool!
Ronnie, how lovely to see you.
Juliet, how lovely to be here.
Did you have a good journey? Did you run into the Upshots? Now, at the moment, there is some sort of luncheon party going on. Many Greek business people who are friends of my second husband. I'm sure all you want is a cold beer and a sandwich after that boat. And a good long siesta. Why don't you go and find Mona and get her to look after you? If you take the second archway and keep on round to the right, you'll find her. The child simply can't wait to see you. Ah! Oh, Biddy and Tubby, how marvellous you are here.
So bless you. Wonderful.
All right, Ron. What does Juliet want? Answer, that I keep Simon called Mona off the streets. And God knows she couldn't be on them until a successor to the Yank Parrot is found. A rich bastard, not a Ron. Little do they know that what Ron has, he doesn't give up. One puzzle still. What does Juliet think I think I'm doing here? She's too smart not to have thought. The girl must be somewhere about here. Sort of courtyard flat. Simon! Simon!
Ronnie! I'm up here. You take the stairs.
Two at a time. Oh, I thought I was never going to find you. All that marble and those statues.
I'm in here. You open the door.
Must you sound like a radio play? There you are. How are you? Oh, I like the, what do you call it? Enlarged bikini. Give us a kiss.
Pleased to see you, Ron. You're hot and hungry, I'm sure. I got them to put some beer and sandwiches in your room.
Oh, good. Where is it?
Through there. That's a bathroom.
Ah. With you in a minute. I need a wash.
I'll go on through and put your food out for you. I got them to put a razor and things for you in the cupboard. Don't take too long, Ronnie.
More marble. Large bath. Cupboard. I thought so. Cut price plastic razor. Sweet dear rich bastards. Cheap soap, too. Love nest, is it? Can Miss Quick put food out? God, what razor blades are these? Local seashells? What's it all made of? Now.
There you are.
And feeling better. Thank you for pouring the beer. was thirsty.
I hope the sandwich is all right.
Mm. Well, I'll soon tell you. Well, I don't know what it is, but it's all right. Mm. I see you and I are going to be living here in a little apartment of our own.
Right. Mummy always...
Always?
And Mummy's very good about me and sex. I think she likes to know. She can't stop me, you see, so I think she thinks the more she knows about it, the better.
That's what I expect.
Ronnie, it is nice you're here. I never thought you would be.
No, I knew I'd be here. And why are you being so nice to me? You didn't bother to bring me in London, did you?
I was going to. Sorry, Mummy made me do all sorts of things. Ronnie, how long can you stay?
Well, I must be back in London on Monday week morning.
I've done a lot of travelling for 8 days.
And I wouldn't have done it for anybody else.
You're starting to like me, aren't you?
Well, what's the programme?
There's a dinner party tonight, and Mummy wants you to have your dinner jacket on and be in the drinks room by 6:30.
Good. Then I have time for a rest.
Can I rest with you, Ronnie?
Now, if you rest... Now, listen, Simon. I'm not having you like it was last time. You jogging about like an electric blender to stop me seeing how much you hate it.
What do you mean I hate it? I adore it. I'm crazy about it.
All right, you adore it. Now, what's the rest of the programme?
Programme here. Boat trip tomorrow. We have to go to the next big island, a Greek friend of Mummy's island, Vasilikos. There's going to be a luncheon party there. Boring.
It doesn't sound too boring. Well, come along.
Yes, honey.
See, boring. Whose island? Vasilikos, was it? She should be there soon. Simon doing a Garbo act on me, is she? Chummy sneering at the sea.
Burke Smith, bring the bottle over. Don't forget the ice. You should wonder how people survive.
Something Saxton. He can certainly put it away. God bless his belly. And the rest of his alimentary tract. Not such a bad old rich bastard, though. Nor is she, Lady Saxton.
What's that? Smudger and Clarissa. I was saying how marvellous they are.
Oh, marvellous. Down to that last half a million.
Where you? Yeah. Oh, yes, jolly well right.
Didn't I meet them in Nassau in the winter? Lived in Northamptonshire, they said.
Oh, now, you interest me. Mansfield, no first name as yet. American, youngish, fat, nasty, rich. Next in line?
Yeah, I thought they were great, real great. Hello! Here's a sight to gladden the eye, I must say.
Miss Quick, out on her own.
Hello, Simon.
Hello, Ronnie. Hello, Mansfield.
I'll get lost.
Are you having a drink?
Bert Smith is getting you one. I'm going to take you down to the cabin.
Can't let her get away with that. Show me notices. Didn't Aunt leave Mansfield his money? Must he always shout?
What you going to do, Mona? Lots of things to do. Just you tell us a few of them.
I could tell you a few of them, Mansfield. Keep an eye on you. Look, Chummy has a wet eye on me. Coming over.
Hello, Chummy.
Hello, Ron. Simon seems a bit depressed, don't you think?
No, I don't.
You should have asked her to come and join you, you know, Ron.
Well, I was thinking of it, Chummy, but she didn't stop, did she?
Let's go over to the other side, eh?
I can't see why. The sea will look the same.
We haven't had time for a proper chat yet, Ron. I think we should have one.
If you say so, Chummy.
Burke Smith.
I expect you'll have noticed, but I haven't much time for you.
Well, of course, I have been conscious of something, atmosphere. But if I've done anything, you know, then I wish you'd tell me.
Come off it, me old Ron. No need to play silly buggers. I got your number, see?
Honestly, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, stay with it then. Stay with it as long as you're quite certain in your own mind that I've got your number. You're hanging about on the chisel, ain't you, Ron?
On the chisel? You mean...
Yes, and it's no good, old lad. Not a chance, Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Yes, somebody who knows bloody well wherefore, Ronio. And don't you forget it. Nobody's going to marry that girl for her money if I have anything to do with it, and I do have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I suppose you've ruled out the possibility that I might be in love with her.
You bet I am. What do you take me for? Question of what you're here for, let me tell you. You're being given a free holiday entirely for Simon's benefit.
I see.
Now, do go on, Chummy.
I will, Rom. Your job is to give that girl a good time, in bed and anywhere else you like. Talk to her, make her laugh, take her out of herself. That's your job, and you don't seem to be taking it very seriously.
Well, she is a very difficult girl, you know, in many ways.
You've got that far, have you? If she weren't difficult, she wouldn't need therapy from any silly little Tom, Dick, or Ron she might happen to fancy. I want young Simon to be happy. You can manage it for the next week. I'm very grateful to you. Only so far, you haven't been doing it very well, have you? All right, then. Marked improvement in the next 48 hours. Otherwise, Juliet is going to find she simply must have your room. Understand?
You make it very clear.
Good. No hard feelings, I hope. Not like me to wave a big stick, but I don't like having you around the place. You may be good of your kind, but I don't like the kind. Nothing personal.
I can assure you I feel the same. About you, I mean. Now, I think I'll go back to the other side. Port, isn't it?
They say, Appleyard.
Saxton.
Chummy. Is he all right, is he?
Oh, yes, I think he's just giving the sea a quick look over. Not being sick.
Yeah, I wondered if it was tactless of me to talk about the scaifs like that.
The scaifs?
The Smudger and Clarissa scaif. About how well they manage. To Chummy. You see, the old man, Chummy's father, very fine chap in all sorts of ways, just had no idea of how to run things, left poor Chummy without a bean.
Without a bean?
Yeah, so to speak, a few thousand a year. Burke Smith, I'm thirsty. So it might have been tactless of me to talk of the scapes running things so well. Eh?
Mr. Appleyard?
No, thank you, Burke Smith. I'm sure you're worrying unnecessarily.
I hope you're all right. All a matter of how you do the legal business, you see. I mean, take young Mansfield. I expect you heard about that unfortunate business with his mother. Well, put it all behind him. Sensible of him. Still, I mean, what else could he do?
Mansfield and his mother, Mr. Scover.
I don't recall about the mother.
Well, I'll tell you sometime. hello. There's the island, eh? Damned awful looking place, eh? Bound to be a frightful bore of a party.
You think so?
Well, what else? I mean, the chap's so ghastly rich.
And he's not the only one, is he? Will it be a big luncheon party?
No, not big. Just 70 or 80 old friends, you know.
God, look at this. A little open-air party beneath an awning, whacking great air conditioners to blow us all to hell. Crumpet round the swimming pool. That's where a couple of very debilitating years. Look at Upshot. Lord of Same, showing envy, resentment, with some respect, almost fear. Rank on rank of gins, pimses, whiskey sours, champagne cocktails. But that must be the Silipas, a clean-shaven Zeus, hilariously handsome. Girl beside him. Well, that figure, not the handiwork of nature. Injections? Ah, yes, give me this quick. Make her happy, Ron.
Ronnie, put your drink.
Oh, Simon, nice of you.
What did that ghastly chummy say to you?
Well, I'd rather not talk about it now. Do you mind?
Oh, no, Ronnie, of course I don't mind. I understand.
Simon, bring Ronnie over.
Mummy, wants us to meet Kirill Vasilikos. You to meet him. I know him.
What Mummy says is what we do, isn't it, Simon?
Hello, Kirill.
Simona, how charming you look.
Kirill, this is Mr. Appleyard from London. Our good host, Ronnie.
Ronnie's very famous on television in London, Kirill.
Television in London, eh? Tell me, do you know Bill Hamer?
Oh, Bill! Yeah, a very old friend. I know Bill of old.
I met him in London sometime. Rather a good chap, an interesting chap. He was discussing to go on his program.
You never told me about a program.
My dear Juliet, nothing has come of it. He was not getting enough millionaires to come on the program. Oh, it was going to be everybody talking about rich people.
Rich people?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It is my bad accent. People with a tremendous lot of money. Rich people, eh? We are getting our hands dirty all the time with money. But fellows like him are helping us to be better. So we don't think only of dollars, drachmas, pounds all day long, and having dirty hands. Well, it is nice to meet you, Mr. Apple. Well, we must be doing what God wishes us to be doing here. That's what it is. So I can't stop you from your lunch any longer. Ask for a double order of the slams, and they are very small. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye, Zeus. Isn't that the way Juliet looks at Ron? Bastards are closing again. They've probably only got until this evening. Be nice to Simon. Be a bit honest. Tell her.
When we leave him, you know, Mona?
In about half an hour, when Mummy's finished her nap.
I shan't be sorry. See you on the yacht.
That was Lord Upshot.
Yes, I know, Simon. He always wants to know the time. Now, where were we? Yes, am I going back to London?
I wish I could come with you.
Oh, why don't you? It'd be marvellous if you did.
I can't. I've got to stay.
Why? You must tell the truth, Simon.
Mummy wouldn't like it.
Now, what would she do if you just said you were going?
She wouldn't prevent me, but she'd be terribly upset.
So she's terribly upset. But you just tell her kindly. You are 26, Simon, 26.
Mummy, you don't understand. When Mummy's upset, it's just awful. She's so sensitive, and she's had two husbands die, and she's so brave. You don't know what it's like when she really gets upset.
I guess, Simon, she's used to her way.
It's not fair. She's had so much to put up with. She gets so terribly worked out.
She wants her own way, Simon. God knows why, but she does.
But Stavros, her second husband, wanted his own way in absolutely everything. He tried to send me away to school, but Mummy stopped it. You don't know the things she's had to go through.
Look, Simon, don't you think your trouble is simply that you're scared stiff of your mother?
No. Balls, Ronnie. You're so completely off. Everybody keeps saying we're just like sisters. You wouldn't know.
I do know, Simon. I do know. And your mother isn't your sister, and she never can be.
Well, all my girlfriends keep on saying that they wish they could get on with their mothers like I do with Mummy.
And you believe them, Simon? No, you're afraid of her, Simon. Everything you do shows it.
Not true. I hate you. I hate you. I love Mummy, and I respect her.
Proved your point, Ron. No good. Have to go. Oh, here comes Chummy. Happy sneer.
Not doing very well, are we?
Oh, get lost, Chummy. And by the way, I'll be going back to London well before Juliet wants my room.
Ah, off in the morning, huh?
Yes, Mansfield, the boat leaves about midday.
London you go to, isn't it? So what's in London right now you have to catch? Just name me one thing.
Well, one thing is my job.
Oh, yeah. What do you got to say about that view, huh? Isn't that just great, huh?
Sure, Mansfield. Pain in the ass, Mansfield.
All that ocean. All that, huh?
All what? Oh. Ah, Miss Quick and Mummy and Chummy. No Upshots. Only Sir Saxton. Cecil Saxton.
Hi, Simon. Juliet.
Hi, student.
Student. Nothing under the sun in American, can't be called.
You look good enough to eat, Simon. Finger licking good.
Thanks. Mummy bought me the dress.
Oh, God, the girls are somewhere.
Come sit down here, Ronnie. Have you got a drink?
Thanks. Ouzo. And I'll sit here, if you don't mind.
Ouzo. You know what that is. The dregs. From the dregs. They're dregs, you know, the Greeks.
Evening, Ron.
Evening, Sir Cecil.
Oh, you got my first name, have you? Good.
Do you know what they are, Juliet?
Bad customer, then. His father was a great friend of Juliet's.
Wanted
to marry her, I've heard.
Turks.
He is sober.
Armenians and Bulgarians.
Father was a
general.
Arabs. American.
Now, what's so great about the Greeks?
Damn silly name, man. Was in the army. I expect you heard about that unfortunate business in West Germany.
Well, no, not actually.
Chummy, do come and sit down.
Just stretching my legs, you know.
Please don't slump like that, Mona.
No, Mummy. Sorry.
Slump. She's asleep.
Ronnie, you were giving us such a fascinating account of youth problems at dinner. Frightening, too. Do you realize, student, that 32% of young people under 25 are going to get into some trouble with the authorities?
That was England he was talking about.
The situation is roughly the same in all the developed countries.
Tell me, what is it that makes all these children rebel and revolt? A refusal to grow up? That's what's wrong with my problem child here. isn't it, darling? You just hate the idea of growing up.
I suppose so, Mummy.
It's a whole sickness. And what she needs is discipline. Somebody who will run her whole life and see that she does exactly as she's told.
Excuse me, Julia. must find...
Don't you agree with me, student?
Oh, sure, Julia, sure.
I'm afraid I don't.
What do you mean? Do you think I don't understand my own child?
Of course not. But I think she needs continuing kindness and sympathy and affection.
You mean we all treat Mona brutally the whole time?
Well, certainly not, not brutally. Look, I'm not happy about the way we're all sitting here and discussing Simon as if she were a piece of furniture or something.
Mona. Mona, look at me.
I don't know, Ron.
Do you object to our talking about you?
No, Mummy.
There, Mr. Appleyard. I suggest you apologize.
If I had said anything to upset you...
I'll bring you here and feed you and take you about in return for your services as Mona's companion. And you repay me by telling me my duty in public. I should have realized that somebody of your background wouldn't fit in here. I've seen your type before, Mr. Appleyard, many times.
I say, darling, I think you're taking it all.
No, chummy. Mr. Appleyard, you'll need a little less television technique and a little more common decency the next time you come pushing and shoving your way into civilized society.
Well, that's what it is it?
Now, you look here, Appleyard.
All right, student. Mr. Appleyard, you're leaving tomorrow, so we need say very little more to each other. That's fine with me.
Fine with me. Poor you, Simon. You don't know what you want, do you? Good night, chummy. You've got what you want, haven't you?
Why did you say that I don't know what I want?
I don't know, Simon. Except that it seems so much the thing to say at that point of this evening.
I do know what I want. A nice man, all to myself.
Well, you've got one. Me. A nice one, I hope.
Oh, yes. A marvelous one. It's not going to be easy, though.
No, I know. Not easy.
There's Mummy, you see.
There's Mummy. I know. A little old United States. Fotheringay County. Well, here we are, Ron. Without a porter. And there's that twit aimer with two porters.
They were trying to send our stuff on to Nashville.
Where's that, Nashville?
Nashville, that's in Tennessee, sir.
No doubt it is, my good fellow.
Ah, there's Burke Smith.
Mr. Hamer, sir.
Ah.
May I say how much I enjoy your show when I get the chance to see it? Mr. Appleyard, welcome to Broad Lawns.
Broad Lawns? This isn't Broad Lawns.
Lady Baldock's house, sir. The car's just over there, Mr. Hamer.
South suffered bloody defeat here in Civil War. Ron booked to follow in their footsteps, methinks.
The last time we were in the back of a car together, my old son, was when we were on our way to that thrash at the Reichenbergers. How long ago was that?
3 months, Bill. Must have traveled 10,000 miles since. All from this quick. Broad Lawns. I wonder what's there for me.
Vast bloody country. Look at it. Nothing between here and the Gulf of Mexico, by the look of it.
It's only a 5-minute drive, sir.
Nice to know. Ron, how soon can I get away from here?
I don't know. I'm off on Sunday morning. Juliet, do you really think you can get Mr. Hamer to come? I'll do my best, Juliet. Because if he can't make it, I'll have to change my plan. Which won't include room for you. I do hope you understand, Ronnie.
I'd like to ask you, Mr. Hamer, if you'll forgive the intrusion, what are the main technical problems confronting one responsible for presiding over a television program such as yours?
Do you mean preparing the show or after it's on the air?
Coming back, both,
Mr. Hamer. Mr. Hamer, really?
Although I imagine they're quite separate. Drinking destiny for the next few days?
To explain would take quite a bit of time, Burke Smith, so we'll have to have a proper chat sometime.
I've invited him yourself.
I should look forward to
so
that.
So what's she up to?
Look, Ron, what has this woman invited me along for?
I told you all I know about it.
She wants you to set up your rich bastards program all over again and put it on with this Greek chap in it, so that he'll know it was Aunt Juliet who fixed it up.
Has to bring me from New York for that. The whole kerfuffle is just to impress Vassie Whatnot.
Get one up on him. Get herself invited to three-star parties, you know?
I suspect there's more in it than that, old son, with her money and the rest of it.
But the thing is, Bill, she's horribly rich by your or my standards. But she's not really uncontrollably rich, like Vasilikos. So
could be, I suppose. One last question, old man. What's in this for you?
What's in what? From her, I don't know. For me, you guess.
The daughter, Simona, isn't it?
Right in one.
Serious?
Yes. Marriage, if I can.
Blimey. You'll have your work cut out there, I should imagine. Washy hiking head.
Bloody wildcat.
I know. Some of his upper-class bints will bounce you to the ceiling. Well, buddy, good luck to you. Watch out for Mum.
Like a hawk. Broad lawns. More Grecian pillars. Pictures. Early Americans signing things. Earlier ones shooting arrows at things. Now there's Chummy sniffing the air. Out of place. Conservatory ahead. There's Miss Quick, back to me. And student bloody Mansfield. Oh, of course, you old fool, Ron. That Greek island. What did Juliet think I thought I was doing there? Answer. Pressing on with plan to marry her daughter, while in fact only keeping her happy until student Mansfield was vetted and talked into taking on a 26-year-old neurotic terrified of her mother. Only question now. Why me here now? Dispensable. We'll find out, no doubt.
Sure, Mona, sure. This afternoon.
Where's that money? I'm sure she can get
it. Well, why shouldn't she? I can't see any objection myself.
What are they going to do, rob a bank? Please, Mummy, may we go and rob the First National? Shall I hit student? No. Get Simon alone. Somehow. Back away, Ron, so they never see.
You're old. I think this is real funny.
God. No, George Parrott. What's funny?
The irony of fate, Appleyard. You're just exactly where I was that time we met before. Realizing that you have just set eyes on the guy who is destined to be your successor gives you a kind of funny feeling, don't it?
Yes, it does, George. Look, I want to talk to you, not here, in private.
Sure. Unaware. We must collect some booze. We may need it.
How did you manage to get a tray of 9 glasses of Juliet's best scotch up here, George Parrott? Never mind.
I used a handgun. So I was never engaged to Simone. I guess nobody ever was. Things would then get in the papers. We had this understanding. Did you ever get that far?
No.
No, you ain't rich, Everyard. I presume it's Simona's money you're after.
Well, to begin with, it was. But then I started getting fond of her.
Yeah, well, before you get too fond of her, I've got news for you. Simona don't own a dime. Maybe she did way back from her daddy. But Juliet has it all now. Like in trust.
Crikey Moses. She'd lose all control over her. That would never do.
Oh. Have another glass, Abby.
Oh.
Yeah, you got a point there. There's no question about that. Well, I can't see you achieving your ambitions in a coon's age, but here's luck. Not because I give a damn for you, but because I like anything that might cause my old friend Stoughton even minor inconvenience.
You know him well, do you?
Yeah, we almost grew up together. He's from around here. He spent some years in the East curing his accent. A cotton-picking bastard.
Somebody called Cecil Saxton
told me... Success. Oh, say, ain't he the marvelous old guy talking that way, and him the son of a railroad engineer in, is it Leeds? He cured his accent, too, and good. I tried to get him to talk the way he used, and do you know he'd forgotten? He couldn't do it anymore. He was goddamn furious. Excuse me. I interrupted you.
Well, Saxton mentioned a student and some unfortunate businesses. His mother and something about West Germany.
Oh, long stories, Abby. But I'll tell you this. Student's ma signed everything over to him. Death duties, if you get it. So when they were putting their pens back in their pockets, student says, does this mean this house and all is mine now, ma? And she says, damn right it is, son. And he says, right, ma, out. Well, that was the unfortunate business about his mother.
Cripes. And West Germany?
West Germany, 1955. He was Lieutenant Mansfield then, U.S. Army. Supplemented his pay along with a sergeant, holding up Germans, putting up a roadblock. And when the crowd comes along in a decent car, they stop him and remove his valuables and his car. Sell the car on the black market, divide the money. In the end, the Army gets to hear about it, and it gets mad. So Student stops being an officer anymore and gets put in the stockade. That was the unfortunate business in West Germany.
Good God. And Juliet can consider him as a husband for Simon? I suppose she does know about him.
Of course she does. Everybody does. He's rich, happy. That means he belongs to a very, very tight circle. A kind of mutual defense system. So you can get away with damn near anything, long as you stay rich. You're eligible on the marriage market, whatever you've done. And even if you can't perform.
Even if you can't perform?
Common knowledge, Abby. And what better husband for a girl who don't like it than a guy who can't do it?
Well, I'll be damned. Now, George, what I can't see is why I'm here. Any ideas?
Are you in a position to do Juliet any kind of a favor?
Well, I'm not. Only the job I came with.
Yeah. Hey, a fat fornicator. Tell me, you upset or frustrated her in any way recently?
Well, I did have a bit of a disagreement with her when I was in...
In public?
Yes, it was about...
It wouldn't matter a goddamn in hell what it was about. You're here to pay for that little error of judgment, happy old man. Public humiliation. You're here to see Simona and Student, the happy couple, with you not one of it.
Yes. That has the right sort of ring. And you, same as me.
No. I've expiated my crimes. Not that they were ever as grave as yours. I've got to hand it to you for disagreeing with my Lady Baldock. Now I'm back to being an old friend of the family. Because I'm rich, like I told you. It's a small circle. Real small.
Now, look, George, I've got to see Simon alone. How? Student will never be less than a yard from her.
Juliet's thrown a small party this evening.
Ah, that's where you've got the tray of drinks from.
Sure, from under the nose of that red-headed lush of a butler.
Now, Juliet will be busy getting all that black hair coiled.
Well, I'll see to it that Student is out of the way. You'll find Simone in the office place. I'll show you.
Why? I mean, why will she be in...
Because, happy old fella, I will see to it that she has to take an urgent call on the office phone. So get on your feet and get into action, boy.
Ronnie. No good. Nothing to say to each other. No point.
None of that, Simon. I love you, Simon.
Oh, Ronnie. That's a dreadful thing to say.
A nice thing, actually. Tell me, Simon, are you sleeping with Mansfield?
Don't want to show.
Now take your hand away from your mouth. I can't hear you. Are you?
Yes.
That's better. But I gather he can't do it. Is that true?
He's very bad at it.
But can he manage it all?
Not much.
Not much?
Only twice. He's terrible at it.
And I'm going to marry the flaming shit.
He's not so bad. He hasn't asked me.
Yes. Or more than likely, you'll find the whole thing suddenly fixed up. Overnight. Complete with date, place, best man, the lot. You see, this time I think she means business.
What are you talking about?
Mummy. He hasn't meant business before, certainly. Not with George Parrott, for instance, who's neither stupid nor illiterate nor insensitive. Obviously, he'd be no good at all. Now, Student.
Now, there's a real strong candidate for you. A loud-mouthed, bigoted fool with the sensitivity of a camel, and that's being unkind to camels.
He can't help his voice. And I don't understand all this meaning business and candidate thing.
Ah, Simon, the whole situation is very simple, but unusual, too. It's the simple things that are unusual. Now, listen. But first, you must understand. I came here only to see you. For no other reason, Simon. Because I love you.
Don't say that, Ronnie.
True, Simon. I didn't believe it was true until I saw you again downstairs. With Student. Now, listen, Simon. A simple but unusual situation as I see it. In one way, your mother would like you never to get married at all so that she could keep you by her side and go on bullying you. And also because she knows you want to get married. So men appear and sleep with you, and that's fine because she knows you don't enjoy it. But this can't go on indefinitely. For one thing, an unmarried daughter over 25 is getting to be a worse and worse advertisement for her. So instead of preventing you from marrying, she'll make you get married to an absolute bastard instead. That is to say, not only a very unpleasant man, but a crook and a known crook.
She wants me to marry him because he's the son of the man she was in love with when she was a girl before she married Daddy.
Yes. That's the absolute clincher. Her official reason. All her friends would understand that.
Mummy loves me.
Stop it. Stop it. Try to behave like a grown woman.
I'll try, Ronnie.
Well done, Simon. Now, what she really feels about you, whatever the hell it really is, I don't know. But the only way for you, you yourself, to treat her is as if she hates you. Hates you!
Does she hate me, Ronnie? Why does she?
Well, there's plenty of things to choose from. You're Mr. Quick's daughter, for one thing, not General Mansfield's. Your first stepfather, what was his name?
We called him Stavros.
Stavros. Well, he took notice of you, not only of her. Same with Chummy.
Chummy's horrible. He hates me.
Yes, he's horrible, all right, but he doesn't hate you. In his way, his own horrible way, he cares for you. It's me he hates. Now, going on about your mother, she hates you also because you're not only better looking than she is, you're the same physical type, only your colouring is so much better and extraordinary. People compare the two of you, don't you see? And they can't help seeing that you're better. You have your father's colouring, I bet, yes?
I think so. Not better than Mummy.
Yes, you are! Though I'm sure you've been told the opposite since before you can remember. Oh, she should have had a homosexual son. Simon, you must leave her. When I go back on Sunday to London, you must come with me. I'll look after you.
Couldn't
if you could. Now, you must meet me at the airport at 10:15 on Sunday morning. Sneak out, right? With just your passport.
Can't do it.
You must. Simon, if you don't come with me on Sunday, you're finished. It's your last chance of ever leading a normal life.
I know. Not brave enough, though.
You'll have to be.
Excuse me, Mr. Appleyard. Lady Baldock would like to see you before the party commences, Miss Mona.
Mummy would. I'll come right away. See you, Mummy.
Shall I shut the door, sir?
Always,
Southern Colonel drinking Southern Comfort. Mansfield, I could knife him. Hamer, and over Silikos. How these bastards travel.
Ah, Mr. Appleyard, how are you, my dear sir?
Well, Mr. Basilikos, how are you, Bill?
Enjoying meeting old friends, Ron.
I guess they're rich, you fat lecher. Now, where's Juliet and Chummy? Simon over with Mansfield. Southern Colonel coming over. Smile.
You from London, I've been informed.
I am indeed.
You all got trouble there. Real bad trouble.
Oh, have we?
You all got all these colored people coming in all the time. Letting them mix with you and work and live alongside you all in 50 years' time.
Yes, I'm sure. Ah, here's our host and hostess.
Hello, everybody. Oh. Perhaps Smith has happened to my champagne. Why is there always this delay? I want it now. Do you hear? I want it now.
And one day you'll get it. Now, George Parrott, come in. Cutthroat sign. Danger? Mummy Mansfield coming over.
Pardon, Colonel.
You telling our friend here the dangers of integration, I heard?
I was trying. I don't think you quite saw my point.
Oh, I see the point. Who doesn't?
Our Mr. Appleyard is a nigger lover. Do you see that nigger over there? That's Hoskins, the nigger bugler. He wouldn't thank you for your liking him. No, sir. Do you know Appleyard something? We solved the nigger problem down here by realizing there is no problem. Except keeping them down. They're inferior. They always will be inferior. And we in the South have the honest to God common sense to realize it. What do you say to that? The only way to keep the nigger in his place is by fear. The only argument he understands is the lash.
Bulls!
Pardon me?
You heard Mansfield. Bulls! What you're saying is balls, ancient balls, rubbish, nonsense, tosh, junk, and also extremely offensive, barbaric, inhumane, foolish, ignorant, outmoded, and in the circumstances, unforgivably rude.
I'll handle this, student. I take it that you're drunk.
Not in the least. I wish I were.
Burksmith knows you had 8 or 9 whiskies earlier.
4, actually, which is less than that little redhead.
That is enough. We need not discuss the matter any further. However, what I won't tolerate is your behavior to student a moment ago. Fortunately, I'm in the position of not having to give my reasons. Leave my house.
What? You mean now?
As soon as is reasonable. A taxi will be at the door in 15 minutes. Hoskins, arrange it.
But Juliet, the poor sap was only...
Darling, a mere difference.
Within these four walls, I have things the way I want them.
Mommy!
Oh, God, I can't stand that racket. Tommy, take her up to her room, will you?
Well, I mustn't let you keep me, Lady Baldock. So long, then, all. See you in London, Bill.
So long, old boy.
Shirts. Ties. The longest stay. I won't see Simon again. George Paris.
Here, Abby, stash this in your baggage. It's the best of the scotch I could lay my hands on.
Oh, thanks, George. Why not? I've been accused of everything.
Yes, you certainly did it. A little on the short side, but by my sainted aunt, it was sweet. The guy was landed like a fish. Nobody's told him balls in 15 years.
Yeah, but was it worth it? There, I'm packed.
You'll see.
15 minutes. Better get down to the taxi. Look, say goodbye.
She's waiting for you.
What?
Side entrance stuff, Happy, with the car. God knows where you get to, but she's got ideas.
Simon!
Sure. Now hurry, Happy, before Juliet and Chummy miss the chance.
Oh, thanks, George. You southern bastard. Thanks.
George's car. Can't go to the airport.
Simon, we won't go anywhere but to the grave if you don't slow down just a small amount. Why not to the airport?
No passport. She keeps it locked up with hers and Chummy's.
Where are we going then?
A place called Old Boulder State Park, just across the line in Tennessee. She won't even have heard of it.
But you mean a tent for the night?
I've been there before. They're little log cabins. It's a gorgeous place. There's a place to shop. Always open.
Beautiful, Simon.
Darling, Ronnie.
You cried when she sent me away?
What made me cry was that she did it to hurt me. She kept looking at me. She does hate me.
I told you. But you've finished with her now.
I like it here, Ronnie.
For the open air, it's not bad. I love you, Simon. Do you know nothing I've said or done since yesterday evening has made me feel as shit? It doesn't happen often to me.
You are funny. I meant to tell you ages ago that I loved you. But I couldn't say anything, because you hadn't. And the man has to say it first. I've never loved anybody before. You have, though. Lots, I expect, haven't you?
Well, yes, in a way. Different from this, though.
What I can't understand is why you never married any of them.
They weren't rich enough.
Ronnie.
At first I fell for you. Then I was after you for your money. Then I started worrying about you. Then I fell in love with you. I'd help you spend £1,000,000 very cheerfully indeed. But it doesn't matter. I'll take you in what you stand up in. Or lie down in. So that car's pulled up.
Oh, Ronnie.
Oh, Simon. Well, if it isn't Chummy. There's some friends he's made in the police force.
Oh, is this the man, Lord Baldock?
Yes, that's him.
Well, Chummy, what is it?
Simon, I want you to know this for your own good. Ron, let me introduce Captain Monaghan and Sergeant Eden. Come to take you home, Simon.
I won't come.
I think you will. If you don't, Appleyard will be arrested. Perhaps you'd care to explain the position, Captain.
Certainly, sir. Mr. Appleyard is liable to arrest under suspicion of having removed Miss Quigg from her recognized parental household, an offense under a statute of Fotheringay County. In addition, he has committed a federal offense under the Mann Act, prohibiting the conveyance of a female over a state border for an immoral purpose.
We have you hogtied real nice, Mr. Appleyard.
This is like something out of... Do you expect these charges to stand up in court?
We reckon it's how they will. Lady and Lord Baldock are mighty respected figures all over Fotheringay County, and anybody who does them a wrong ain't gonna be liked very well.
I see. Now, this Mann Act thing, it was an anti-prostitution measure. Miss Quigg is no prostitute, is she, Johnny?
No, it wouldn't stand up in court, Ron. The other thing well might, though. So think what it would do to your reputation, Ron, me old pal.
Simon, who did you tell and why?
I told a friend of Mummy's, in case she got really upset. I'm sorry, Ronnie.
So am I, Simon. But there's nothing I can do. They know, Simon. If I'm taken to court on any of these charges, it's the end of my career.
It's only an old job.
How rich you are, Simon. How really tremendously rich. Only an old job. Take her away, Chummy. I'm sure you'll forget the charges if you get her back. And don't bother to say anything at all, Chummy, old chum, because whatever it is, I shall hate you for the rest of my life. Goodbye, Simon. Go back to Mummy.
Sorry. Love you. Frightened. Awful.
Where's Hamer? Keep Ron waiting. What's he want?
Ronnie, well, how are you?
Fine, Bill. I'm fine.
I haven't seen you since that incredible hassle at Broadlawn's. That took some nerve, Ron. Do you know, when they found out that the girl had gone, the outside guests were all sent home without any dinner. Do you want to talk about this?
Well, some other time, Bill, if I may. It was rather messy and painful.
I can imagine. God, what a household. That Chummy character's an odd son of a bitch, isn't he? He couldn't not have known what was going on under that aristocratic toffee nose of his. Yes, I gave his lady the most frightful hammering.
Did you? What was she like?
On the job? Fantastic. Rather on the lines of the daughter, from what you were saying to me.
Where is she now, the daughter, do you know?
With the rest of the Shah, in London, staying at Claridge's. The staircase in the penthouse is being painted or something.
Is student loudmouth Mansfield with them, do you know?
Yes, that little arrangement's still on, I gather.
Oh, poor silly Simon. Oh, never mind. What did you want of me, Bill?
My advertised program tonight on the immigration laws is cancelled. Instead, because some of those taking part are so important that they can't make plans ahead of time, I am doing the rich. The Rich Bastards program. Live, of course. Who are these strange people who own so much more money than you and I have and are so much bigger shits? Taking part will be Kirill Vasilikos, Lady Baldock, Thomas of the Financial Observer, and a last-minute surprise, Ronnie Appleyard. Well, you know the fee as well as I do. What are you saying?
That's nice of you, Bill, and I appreciate it, but won't our Juliet refuse to go on as soon as she sees me? She doesn't care for me much, as you know.
That had occurred to me. But, Ron, she's so crazy to be on the box and in my program that she'd appear with Hitler or anybody. Also, she probably thinks in her innocence that she could obliterate you with no trouble at all if she had to.
Fair enough. But why me? I mean, I'm obviously going to do a king-sized hatchet job on it, aren't I? And that can't do you any good, can it? Or can it?
Let's just say for now, that's how I want it. I'll tell you all about it after the show. Nothing startling, actually, but I don't want you bringing it out in the heat of the moment on the air. Should be good television, Ronnie. You'll do it.
Yes, I'll do it, Bill.
Good. See you for Level and Cues at 9:45.
Usual before live show, futile resignation in all departments. Lights won't work. Mike's gone up to spabs.
cameramen all gone home to bed. Audience arriving, dribs and drabs. And here's Hamer, Juliet, Vasilikos, financial chap. She sees me.
Hail, Ron! Nice and on time.
Hello, Rami. Fancy seeing you.
What, here? My natural home, Juliet.
I mean, nobody gave me any idea that you were going to be on the show tonight.
I didn't know myself until the last minute. Now, Juliet, if you'd sit over there.
Nice to see you again, my dear chap.
How are you, Mr. Vasilikos? You're certainly looking very well.
Oh, well, thank you, nothing but the well. Business is good. But how are things with you? You seem to me a little down in the mouth, a little sad, no?
Well, I've had rather an exhausting day.
Cheer up, it will pass. Tell me, it's your reputation to be the great television exit man, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so. Among other things, I hope.
Of course, of course. Then who are you exiting tonight? Not me, I hope, my dear sir.
Good heavens, no. Why should I? Actually,
Gerald, would you come over, please?
Good luck, my dear chap.
Audience filling up. There's Mansfield. No Simon. Sir Cecil and Lady Saxton. The Upshots.
Could you all sort of chat about nothing for a moment so we can check the voice levels?
Yeah. Is your daughter going to be in the audience tonight, Juliet?
No, I'm afraid not. She's felt too tired. She and Chummy will be watching together, of course.
Did you know Mona is getting married, Mr. Appleyard?
Yes, I had heard. Soon, Juliet?
In a few weeks, Ronnie. That's in Paul's will be place. A very small affair, just family and friends.
Thank you, chap. Just relax.
But nice and quiet, studio.
Good luck, everybody.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
LC&M Television brings you truth and laughter, wisdom and wit. The Bill Hamer Program.
The rich. Our civilization, rightly or wrongly, has grown up on and around the making of money. And where there's money, you presumably have rich people. I think they're a fascinating crowd, the rich. And I suggest we go on talking about them. Now, what about you, Ronnie? You're not rich yourself. None of us in this profession are ever going to get rich, are we? But you've run into the rich, right?
Yes, I have.
Well, I understand you know Lady Baldock and you've met Mr. Vasilikos. What's the word from you about this peculiar breed of human being?
Well, Bill, I'd say the first thing that strikes me is that the rich are human beings like ourselves, and that's something we must all keep trying to remember in the face of all the evidence.
Well, could you clarify that, Ronnie?
With pleasure. Some rich people have got the strength of character it takes to be rich and remain a human being. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the rich who are not properly human. Different to us. Different and worse. Not because they're worse by nature, but because of their opportunities. Opportunities for power without responsibility.
Mr. Appleyard, I think you are going to attack me.
Juliet, the sap was just putting his view about the rich, that's all. People aren't all the time having you in mind.
Would you like to carry on, Ronnie?
Thanks. I was saying that the rich have more opportunities than most of us for behaving badly. The exercise of power is very enjoyable to a lot of people.
Be more specific. I mean, what have you got in mind? Telling people to go to hell whenever you feel like it? Or do you mean something deeper and more sinister?
Well, there is a lot of telling people to go to hell, but there's more to it than that. Something deeper. You won't, for instance, have people smoke in your drawing room, but you yourself light a cigar or cigarette in that room when you have people there. So if somebody else lights up, you tell them to put it out. And if they dare say, but what about you, you're smoking, you order them out of the house. Well, why shouldn't you? If you went on like that at the non-rich level, you'd soon find yourself without any friends. But if you're rich, you can afford to abandon reason and justice and good manners whenever you feel like it. And if you're that sort of rich, you don't feel at home with people who aren't rich. You're afraid they may be after your money. And you're certainly afraid of them if, being non-rich, they have some other claim to fame than the possession
Bill,
of money.
Bill, why are you letting him go on like that? I won't sit here and listen to my best friends being insulted.
Fair enough. Everybody gets his chance to be heard in this program. Incidentally, one thing you said just now puzzles me rather.
Puzzles you? Well, I said. What do you mean?
As I understood him, Ronnie was describing the worst kind of rich person, selfish, unreasonable, domineering, and so on. Do you mean to say that all your best friends are like that? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Perhaps not.
Gerald, are you going to stand for this? These two men are insulting me and insulting you too, remember?
Nobody is being insulted, Juliet. Ronnie is telling us some things about the rich people that I'm seeing in an awful lot of the people I know. He's very wise.
But don't be so damn reasonable. Can't you see that that's what they want you to be?
I don't think reasonableness ever hurts anybody.
Mr. Appleyard, you're complaining about these horrible rich people you've met who've been good enough to invite you to their houses and give you their food and drink?
Yeah.
Don't you feel a little bit ashamed of abusing their hospitality?
That's nonsense, I'm afraid. If somebody buys me an expensive bottle of drink and tells me while I'm drinking it that I stink, that rather cancels out the drink.
A little while ago, I invited you to my home. Not only that...
I'm sorry. Let's try to keep personalities out of this. Now, we have an audience in the studio. Let's see what some of them think. I'm sure we can find some fruitful disagreements here.
I say...
Would you introduce yourself, sir?
Certainly. Cecil Saxon.
Sir Cecil Saxon, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. Yes.
And what do you think, Sir Cecil, of the things Mr. Appleyard has been saying?
Chap's gone into a tea. Some of the rich aren't too bad. I mean, take old Tubby Opshop over there. I mean, quite all right, long as you keep off a port. Half the people my wife and I know, the rich are like Appleyard's health. But it takes Juliet Baldock herself. Finest example of the lot. Chucking her weight about all over the shop the moment she gets the chance.
Pardon me.
Sending people away without their dinner, if she feels like it. Inviting them for the weekend. Keeping all the booze under lock and key. Using her butler to spy on her friends. Kicking anybody out on the spot if they dare say boo to her or her chosen few.
Thank you, Sir Cecil. Well, that's a strong view from somebody who seems to know...
You people are in a conspiracy against me, and I want to know why.
No, Juliet. Like I said, you're thinking everything is you. Well, the world is you. Everybody's only existing in a way that concerns you.
You mean, Carol, that you think I'm like this little monster here, this Appleyard said about the way we're all supposed to behave?
Yes, Juliet, yes, you are. I'm sorry to be saying you behave like some tyrant whenever it seems you can get away with it. You are not humble. You don't have feelings about our duty in this world to be good persons and do as God has wished for us.
All you people out there and at home or wherever you are, listen to me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to have my turn if these people here will allow me.
But of course, Lady Baldock.
All right. Now, let me tell you something about this Mr. Ronnie Appleyard who's been so devastating about me.
You tell him, Julia.
I've been what used to be called very kind to Mr. Appleyard. He's been my house guest more than once. So you may wonder why Mr. Appleyard accepted my hospitality if he disapproved of me as much as he makes out. Let me explain. I have an unmarried daughter who will be very rich one day. Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Appleyard...
Oh, yes, you are. I'm after her money, that's what you're saying. In fact, I'm not, but it's no good trying to explain that to you. I wonder when was the last time you took in a new idea or changed your mind about anything, 40 years ago?
How dare you? How dare you?
I'll tell you how I dare. I dare because for once in your life you're not in an unassailable position.
Ronnie, I'm not sure that this is of much general interest.
I don't care whether it's of general interest or not. And anyway, hell, it's of some general interest that we're talking to one of the most ruthless egoists in England.
You're a cynical little adventurer who thinks of nothing but getting his hands on the money he hasn't earned.
Well, that's good stuff coming from you.
At least I don't tamper with people's affections for the sake of money. Insinuating yourself, yes, making love to somebody purely and simply because they're rich and not caring if you break their hearts.
That's enough. Listen. I don't care if I'm on television or I'm on the stage of the Palladium. You're quite wrong. I want her, not the money. And I wouldn't touch your bloody money with a barge pole if you went down on your knees and begged me. You think I'd condescend to live in your world? Want to see what money's made of
I
you?
I will not listen to another word.
Time for a short break.
Student, don't just sit there.
Sure, Juliet. I'll give that smart bastard shut the ready complaint about.
Stop it, Lady Baldock.
Oh, go to hell!
Juliet, gestures will not help.
Appleyard, you've been asked.
Ah, my dear chef, what a sorry good pants. Lady Baldock, I'm sorry.
Come in, Ronnie. I thought that punch you threw was going to go right through Mansfield's fat gut.
Yeah, they'll probably sue me.
Cheer up, Ron, old boy. I've got some booze here. It was fun. That'll put the ratings up. Here, drink it down.
Oh, thanks.
I took the bottle with me when I left Broadlawn's. Cheers.
Cheers. Ooh. What made you do it? You knew what would happen, roughly, yes?
Indeed I did, old boy. Though it succeeded beyond my wildest dreams. Why did I? A mixture of motives. First, she once told me in the course of some dispute that I was a grubby little upstart. I reckoned I owed her something for that. Second, good old Vasilikos took a fancy to me, thought I was an interesting sap, but couldn't think why such a jolly good chap as me had so much time for a howling bitch like Juliet. Hated her for years. Something to do with something she did against his mother once years ago. And I knew you wouldn't mind the chance to carve her up. But I didn't know how much you felt for her girl.
And the ratings?
Falling off a bit. The word had got round that intellectually, Hamer was bloody good, but a bit short on, you know, the gutsy stuff, the knockabout entertainment that jams the switchboard. Mm. I think we've put paid to that mistaken viewpoint for a few weeks, don't you? And it was fun, you know it was.
Well, at the time, I did enjoy it.
Mansfield won't sue you. We may sue him for assault on the wretched floor manager. There you are, Ron. What a night.
What to do? Anticlimax. And however hard you hit student can't do it, Mansfield. He's going to walk up the aisle with her. Blast. I feel dead. Oh, the hell. Press, probably. Better answer. Might be a lovely bird. Holy cow. Chummy Baldock. What the devil do you want, may I ask?
Ah, I say, have you got a bird in here or anything?
Bird? Yes, five, without a stitch on. No, why? What the hell do you want, Chummy?
I've got Simon in the car, opposite.
You... Simon, here?
Now, listen. You ought to be gentle with her. She's scared stiff of seeing you after that log cabin business.
Yes. And what does she want? What's she here for?
I thought that was rather up to you. I had to practically carry her here. So, as I say, you've got to be decent to her. I take it you want to marry her?
Yes, yes.
Right. Wait here. I'll tell her.
And where is Juliet? Simon. I didn't expect you.
Ronnie. You're not cross with me.
No. Well, come on in. And you too, Chummy. Are you letting me have her after all?
I'm delivering her to you. Sorry about that business at the log cabin. I was wrong. But at that stage, I still thought you were after her money. I say, have you got a whiskey or something? I could do with a drink.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. So, you saw the program and you got away before Juliet got back? Or have you murdered her?
No, not yet. We got out before she arrived. What she realizes...
Hey, whiskey. Now, you too, Simon. Drink up and take heart.
Thank you.
You will marry me, won't you, Ronnie? I've been such an idiot.
Yes, I'll marry you, Simon. As soon as possible, I think, Chummy.
Take my advice and drive away from this flat tonight. Mm. Find a quiet hotel, vanish. Get a special license and keep away from your usual haunts until you're married. She can't do much before you're spliced, but she can be an irritant, to put it no higher. And Simon's had it.
Oh, she does hate me, and she stopped me from liking Chummy.
And what's she going to do to you, Chummy?
Oh, something, undoubtedly something. Even on her most charitable view, I've been guilty of criminal negligence in not reading Simon's mind and locking her up.
I guess you did more than that.
Yes, she can't prove it. We're pretty sure that you had help, but she can't prove it. And I fixed an alibi at White's.
She'll still give you hell, Chummy.
Yes, I've been getting fed up, really fed up. And now that Simon's settled, there's a pink woolen dinner jacket she wants me to wear. I might kick off with her. Eh? You know, when you're doing exactly what she wants you to do, she's the most affectionate and loving person in the world. That's rather like saying how marvellous the tiger looked when he jumped onto the antelope and sank his teeth in. Not worth it. Now, I must be off.
Chummy, why have you done this? Brought Simon here, said go and marry. This evening, was it?
I assumed you realised. Yes, that bit about your not taking her money, even if she begged you to. That did it. Telling her to stuff her money in front of how many million people means you never see a bean of it until... Did you know that at the time you said it?
No. It took me a minute or two. I was in a bit of a state.
Yeah, I thought you were, not like your old self at all. Of course, if you'd told me a few minutes back that I could keep Simon now you'd say goodbye to her money, I should have looked a proper Charlie. Didn't think you would, though. Must be off. Get going as soon as you can, Simon. Mm. Good luck, Appleyard. I'll see myself out.
Good luck with the dinner jacket, chummy.
So long.
I'm sorry for what I said about your job. Because, well, without it, I was such a fool, Ronnie.
This whole thing is very odd.
I was a shit when I met you. I still am in lots of ways. But because of you, I've had to give up being a full-time one. Fall back into the ranks of the failed shits. And take on responsibility for other people.
You're not like that. Not now, you're not. All my life I've been a fool, Ronnie. Haven't changed, or perhaps a bit.
You've changed a lot. Well, nobody could blame you for what you were.
I could. No sense at all. Silly all the time.
No, not silly all the time. Getting unsillier. And one day I might even get you to start to like making love with me.
It wasn't horrible anymore. Last time in that cabin. Not ghastly anymore.
Perhaps we'll have to work on each other.
Helping each other not to be as bad as we would be on our own.
That's it. Now, let's be practical. You've got a suitcase.
Mm.
I'll pack one. And we'll go somewhere where the rich would die rather than go. And then we'll get married.
In I Want It Now, the novel by Kingsley Amis, adapted for radio by Frederick Bradman, Ronnie Appleyard was played by Nigel Anthony and Simon Quick by Anna Calder Marshall. Juliet Baldock, Margaret Robertson, Charlie Baldock, William Fox, Bill Hamer, David March, Student Mansfield, Harry Taub, George Parrott, Bruce Beebe, Kirill Vasilikos, Harold Caskett, Sir Cecil Saxton, William Eadle, Lord Upshot, Jonathan Scott, Burke Smith, Alaric Cotter, Antonia Reichenberger, Irene Subtick. Other parts were played by Heather Bell, Penelope Reynolds, Rod Beecham, Michael Harbour, Alaric Cotter, Jonathan Scott and William Eadle. The play was directed by Betty Davis.